And what do you think, Sunita Malhotra, Professor Sunita Malhotra, do you think that people born within these cohorts have a strong identity, particularly in the workplace, though, rather than sort of, you know, defined by Michael Jackson? Or
Actually, I want to talk about Michael Jackson.
Yeah, me too.
As Sandy was speaking, I'll answer the question in just a sec, but as Sandy was speaking, I was just thinking, you know what, I'm Generation X, but I feel like Generation Z, I feel like Baby Boomer, I feel like a millennial. Sorry, Nina. So, but on that note, I think before I even jump into that, I think we are looking at generation today, obviously, but it's a bigger diversity issue. And sometimes I feel we also forget the national cultures. That's another thing that plays into it, style of individuals. They're introverts or extroverts, regardless of whether they're baby boomers. Can you hear me back there? Okay. Whether they're baby boomers or Gen Z. So I think that's, of course, the bigger issue. But we are talking about generation today. So I think there's a lot of stereotyping, unfortunately. I see that in the workplace as I work with my clients. I see it with my students as I teach in the beautiful SEMS. This is not an advertisement for Roland or anyone. It's just because I fundamentally love the SEMS students. Interacting with them, but I find that there is research, and you know, PwC does great research. I've read this report. CIPD's done something tapping into talent. They do say that, you know, millennials, and you'll correct me, right, Nina, and a lot of you in the audience subsequently are looking for work-life balance, are looking for flexibility in the workplace. They're looking for making an impact in the environment, as opposed to maybe my generation, where we were not very considerate about the environment. So I think some of those things, as I read the reports, but also as I interact with the SEM students, my own kids, who are also millennials, I do see that that is true. I see that the generation is very curious, very engaged, lots of questions, you know, wanting to learn about the world, wanting to make an impact. Please correct me. I'm sure you will, Nina. But a lot of curiosity, a lot of connection, because, you know, there's Twitter, there's social media, you all are always connected to the internet. So I find that there is a certain part of that cohort, at least in the generation. In our generation, which is X, it was about working hard. It was about, you know, we had loyalty to one organization because that's kind of the options we had. You know, you would go in, do an MBA, you would study, and that would be it. But what I also hear a lot from the SEM students, on the flip side, is they're confused sometimes. They say, you know, we have so many options that sometimes we actually don't know what is it that we want to focus on. So you find a balance, I think, of all. But again, and this is maybe just my very simple human common sense brain, if you will, I find, as I again interact with the different generations and myself and living my life, I find that we're all human. And at the end, the bottom line, I find that a lot of people just want to be engaged at work. They just want to be happy and have a great boss or a great coach and use the skills that we all have. And that's maybe just a very simplistic view of the world, but my perspective.
Okay, so in your sort of opinion, then, it's not useful to think about cohorts and, you know, Generation X or in the workplace particularly?
I think it is useful if it is used for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. I think stereotyping is dangerous, and we'll talk about it later, I know, in the panel, but when you have project teams where you mix generations, where you mix cultures, where you mix all aspects of diversity, introverts, extroverts, I think it's tremendous because you can get a lot from it. But I think if you stereotype and you say, I'm this generation and I like this music, then you might lose out on some of the broader diversity issues.
Yes. Yeah, sure. Sunita, just very briefly, I think, we've talked about this a little bit before, but, you know, are there any particular organisations that are thinking about this sort of in a relatively innovative fashion? You know, Sasha's already talked about reverse mentoring, you know, but are there other organisations, other innovations that we should particularly point out or be aware of?
Actually, I think organisations, some of them, Saj, in your experience and also mine, are really good at it, and some don't yet know how to do it. So I think they're struggling a little bit because there are line managers from Generation X, baby boomers, and just very concrete examples of, you know, some of my clients, and they say, you know, they don't work beyond 5 o'clock. Yeah. And then I'm challenging them, and I'm like, so what? You know, are the results there? And they look at me, no, but they need to work from 9 to 7, because otherwise they're working half day. And you know, so there is some of that. Mm-hmm. But there are innovative organizations that are doing very simple things. I think one is just putting generations together in projects, mm-hmm. and using the millennials for creating an innovation culture, and using the, I should say older, but between inverted commas, older generations for ensuring risk management, you know, a sharing experience. And I think that's where they really leverage diversity very well. Mm-hmm. Simple project and based on skills. Mm-hmm. So regardless of the generation, it balances it. Mm-hmm. Reverse mentoring is fantastic. I mean, I've had experiences with clients where we actually built reverse mentoring programs, and you have CEOs working with, you know, the younger generation, sales people saying, this is social media, this is what it's all about. And then you have, you know, the CEOs that I'm some of them coaching, and their eyes are lighting up, wow, this is great. And at the same time, you know, the other generation learns, so that's extremely useful. Collaborative workspaces. I mean, I'm just thinking of offices that I visit now, which are so different than offices earlier. You know, you have the ice cream can, you know, trains going around, you have people sitting in lounges, and actually they're doing fantastic work. But sometimes I see some of the older leaders, their eyes are popping out. They're going, oh, my God, they're not working. And I'm like, they're actually working much more than you can, you know, imagine. So collaborative workspaces, cultural hackathons, you know, idea generations, hackathons where people are getting together overnight, coming up with brilliant ideas. And companies are really experimenting. So there's a lot of that.
I think that's really interesting. And if you don't mind, I'd like to, because this, I think, segues nicely. Segues nicely into our next topic, which is about communication. Yes. I think final word from you, Sunita, to then sort of kind of tie this up a little bit, because you've done a lot of work. This is your kind of your job, right? This is your career. So I mean, how can we sort of bring these two together, where we attract the talent and we keep the talent that we want, right? And keep that conversation going across the generations, the experience of the older, perhaps, and the and maybe the tech skills and enthusiasm of the younger.
Yeah. And before I say that, actually, I just want to talk about some research I just read. PwC has done something on workforce of the future. It's very interesting if you can get your hands on it. And it talks about 4 different workspaces in the future: the yellow world, the green world, the red world, and the blue world. And the yellow is about humans coming first. That small social organizations. The green is companies care, so it's a lot about the environment. Red is about innovation rules, and this is about bringing like-minded people together to really think tanks, etc. And which one did I miss?
Blue.
Thank you. Blue is corporate is king, and that talks about AI, chatbots, robots, and where you just bind skills as you need. So I think for your generation and Generation Z, the workplace is changing. So it's really about, you know, being more suppliers and clients as opposed to, you know, working for an organization. So I think that's already a challenge in talent development, because you don't know, like you said, you can work for large organizations, you can have startups. 54% plus millennials have either started their own company or going to. So I think that we have to, in organizations, what they're doing now is they're thinking about talent development totally differently. They've turned it almost on its head. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to balance the generations. So what I see happening, you hear of things like mindfulness, yoga, mental health training, because it's all generations who want it. You know, it's regardless of baby boomers or not, everybody wants to find meaning in their work. And I think you said that, Sandy. So I just love what Nina said. She said, you know, when the spark in the eye goes out, ask me if I'm bored. Why is it different for one generation versus the other? I know I don't want to be bored. And so I find organizations now are thinking that it's, you know, rather than stereotyping, they're saying, how can I use your skills, whether you're a baby boomer or a Generation X or millennial? What is this lifelong learning? You know, is it a job or is it a bundle of skills? And they're trying to more think about skills and what people want in their lives versus, you know, let's have a particular program. So reverse mentoring, you know, they're all different programs, but I think fundamentally good organizations and great organizations are actually asking people, what is it that you want to do? What is the skill that you have? And then bringing people together to do that. So that really seems to be working
so
very well.
The acknowledgement that we have to keep people engaged at all times.
So, hi, nice to meet you. My name is Alon. I'm a student here and I'm working, and I worked a lot about how to bring organizations to understand millennials before I came to LSE in Israel. And I'm also now working in an organization that 90% of the workers are millennials. And you describe a very nice image of multi-generational and how to work with millennials and how older generations do it, and it's great. But there's so much resistance. And there's so much resistance from people to understand younger people, from younger people to listen to older people. And I would love to hear your opinion on the other side of the picture of how to get how do you handle with the resistance to change, which is natural because it's, I'm 34, yeah? And even for me, it's difficult to see 21 years old, twice as talented from my abilities, simply because they were born into a different generation. But I'm just keen to hear your opinion about it.
So can I just, so we understand, you're asking the resistance within, is it older generations or resistance within an organization in general?
Oh, I think younger generations have the same resistance to who are these people to teach me.
Right. So how do we overcome a resistance to change, perhaps?
I mean, what have you seen from your side, yeah?
Okay.
I'm happy. Sure. Yeah, thank you for that question, because life is not rosy all the time, right? So thanks for that question. I personally, in many organizations that I've worked with, and I'm currently now clients, I see exactly that. And, you know, I gave the example earlier of a CEO who actually walks around the floor to check if people have left, at 5 o'clock. And if they've left at 5 o'clock, he actually calls the person into his office, the company to be unnamed, of course, and gives them a dressing down and says, you know, why are we there? And they actually hire 90% of millennials. So I think to answer your question, it's not rosy out there. What I've seen great organizations do, I mean, there is one organization, a large pharmaceutical, which actually has a program that it's based in South Asia, but it's to work and help millennials grow and learn their capabilities. But it's also about putting generations together. And what they do it through mind, body, soul programs. They do it through eye-opening exercises. They actually bring generations together and they talk about it. They have the art of conversation and they have dialogue and they say, what is your stereotype about me? And then they actually do, you know, they have a conversation around it. And what makes you feel that this is the stereotype you need to have? And then they go quite deep in the conversation. Based on that, I've seen it's tremendous, because again, I'm sorry, I'm very, very simple. It comes down to being a human, whatever generation you are in. And if you can express how you feel, and if people, and you create the right culture, as Nina said so appropriately, then I've seen that it actually works. But there are very, very few organizations who've nailed it and who are getting it right. But this is just one small experience. Very simple, very practical. Talk about it, put it on the table, and then deal with the resistance as it comes.
But I just focus on, what am I bringing to the table? I know what I'm bringing to the party. What are you bringing to the party?
I have to add one more thing, Nina. What you said, it reminded me of when I started my own business 11 years ago, and I was fairly young at the time, I must admit. No white hair. And there was this gentleman who came up to me and said, how do you have the right to open up a business? You don't have any white hair. And honestly, I had no comment at the point. A few years later, when I had white hair, I actually went to him and I sat down and he said, guess what? I now have white hair. And he looks at me, what are you talking about? I said, I've opened my own business and I have white hair, so I now have the right to do so. And he was blushing, got red in the face. But so you're absolutely right. People out there, you open your mouth, you do it, you prove it, and everything else goes away, right? So thank you.
My name's Lauren. I work here at LSE in marketing. I might be a bit of an older millennial. Not really. But I kind of had a question about burnout in millennials. So they come with a lot of ideas, and that is really attractive. But is there a level of self-protection so that you can survive at these companies that might provide a really great culture, but then where is the line between your work and your life, which might work for younger people who don't have a family or who are fine with work also being their social life. So how does then that then also serve an older generation who kind of wants to just leave work when work is over.
Can you just paraphrase that again? No. Because I want to get it right, because this is a really interesting question.
I guess maybe it's two parts. So protecting younger workers from burnout, and then creating a work culture that is still has a definition for both generations that this is work and this is your life, so it doesn't become all-consuming.
Yeah, so how do you protect the younger workers, and how do we create a culture that goes across?
Right, I feel like sometimes younger workers are looking for maybe a work culture that will satisfy all of their needs, so it is their social life. It's also, you know, they can stay late and work. They don't really mind that, but that's not necessarily what someone
loves.
And a couple of additional reflections to what you said, Saj. I think the older generations, what I find now, that's why there are things like mindfulness training, meditation, yoga, wellness. There are all these names that are coming up, but they're actually talking about health and nutrition in some of the clients I work with. And I find that the baby boomers and the Gen X's are sighing, and they're saying, finally, you know, somebody's taking care of us. So I think, so that also I find happens a lot. And then the other thing, which at least from my generation, was the peer pressure. Because others were staying. I worked with Accenture, I remember, years ago, and I was one day leaving at 8 p.m. and they looked at me and they said, you're working half day. And I looked at them and I said, you know, I'm done for the day. And I think there's also a bit of courage for the millennials, but also probably more for our generations to say, it's time. My clock is done. I'm better in the morning or I'm better in the evening. And so having the courage to say that, but saying it in the right way and creating the work culture around it, I think, so from flip side, from the employees, but also from organizations. And cultures are now moving slowly, not as fast as I'd like them to, but they're moving.